What if you were able to sit down for lunch with some of the greatest leaders in the world? What would you ask? What would they say? Welcome to the Lynch with a Leader podcast, where you're invited to join us in learning the spiritual principles behind big success. Here's your host, Mike Lynch. I've got a great friend who always says the statement, if you can know your why, you'll always find your way. Today, I hope to take you another step towards finding the why you were created, the why that God put you on this earth for. And that's what we're going to talk about on this episode, episode 207 of the Lynch with a Leader podcast. If I've never met you before, my name is Mike, and it is my honor to welcome you on the spiritual leadership journey, as we're all seeking to be the leaders that we were created to be in the spaces and places that God has put us. Man, we are just rolling through 2024, guest after guest, winner after winner, and you get another winner today. I tell you what, man, second time guest, Elizabeth Dixon. Elizabeth spent years and years and years help crafting the customer service experience at Chick-fil-A. And we spent our whole last episode she was on with us talking about the power of the customer experience. Well, Elizabeth has moved on now, and she is at the Trillith Foundation working directly with the chairman of Chick-fil-A, Dan Cathy, and her newest book on helping you find your purpose is special. It is special. So I don't know where you're at in your leadership journey. Maybe you're a newbie. Maybe you're just getting started out. Maybe you're mid-career or towards the tail end of your career. It's never too late to discover that purpose that you were created for and get clarity around the struggles you're walking through and get insights for how those struggles can leave you a winner in your life and work. Elizabeth is such a joy to spend time with. I got off the call and I thought, man, I wish I could have her around all the time because she just brings such insight, wisdom, joy, and she is a special, special leader. So I don't know where you're listening from today, but I want you to do me a favor. I want you to pull up a chair. I want you to get something to write with, and I want you to listen to episode 207 with Elizabeth Dixon. Hope you enjoy it. Well, Elizabeth, it is so great to see you again. Thanks again for joining me on this episode of Lynch with a Leader.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, it was so fun. When I found out, I think I was on LinkedIn and I saw you had a new book and I sent you a note right away. I'm like, okay, I got to get you on. And then we had to work to get our date together to get you on. You've got a brand new book out called The Strength of Purpose, A Guide to Knowing, Living, and Living Your Reason for Being. Why did you feel like I've got to write this? Because these are labors of love. Why did you feel like I've got to write this book?
You know, there are a lot of great books out there on purpose. And actually, that was one of the reasons why I thought I shouldn't write a book on purpose, because there are some classic, iconic ones that I have read and are on my shelves in my library. But I hit a particular season in life about 5 years ago that really rocked me and created some very big, deep questions in my life. And in that season, I realized I didn't clearly know my purpose. And as I was unearthing it, the things that I was living for would point toward a purpose that was very weak. It was very self-focused. It was not fully within my control. I mean, honestly, my purpose was starting to be centered around being promoted and what my title was and what compensation looked like. And in that hard season, I realized as much as I love the resources that I had read before, I still lacked something that gave me the clarity to know how do I put words to something that can feel so incredibly daunting. And last year, when I had finished the customer experience book and it had launched, and I had asked some friends who were implementing that in their businesses, what now, what next? A few of them said purpose, because when our people know their purpose and bring their purpose to work, they actually create better experiences and better brands, and they enjoy their work more. So it perked up my attention, and I started to put those two things together of the 5 years of struggle to figure out what's my purpose. Maybe there's enough room on the shelf for another resource to help be very practical for how to craft someone's purpose.
You know, it's so funny. And I found this through the years with so many great leaders like you and authors like you. The best books are always born out of that adversity. And they're born out of that struggle that you went through. So I want to sit on that for a second, because you, in the world's eyes, were living the successful dream. You were everything people would go, well, that must be her purpose, because everything is trending up. What would you say to a leader who everything to an outsider looks right, but inside they know something's missing? What would you tell them?
Listen to that. I think when you know that something's missing inside, it's worth listening to, and that can be really uncomfortable. Because I think our ego sometimes wants to tell us, like, but look at the evidence, like, look at all these things that you've been working toward and accomplished. And by the economy of the world, it's great. But the greater economy of the things that matter most in life, when we sense that there's something missing, something's off, I think that is, as Andy Stanley would say, pay attention to the tension. Mm. Pay attention to that. That tension, there's a reason for it. And it's probably an invitation to something much greater than you could ever imagine.
What changed about Elizabeth Dixon when you discovered your purpose? When you were able to do the hard work of listening to that engine room, getting in there, pulling some books off the shelf, starting this journey of writing this book, what changed about you? Maybe not on the outside, but what changed about you on the inside?
Oh, I mean, my anxiety reduced, my pressure that I put on myself to perform. I'm a doer. I love to accomplish. I'm an Enneagram 2 with a heavy wing 3. I'm an activator, maximizer, positivity, woo, like, let's go and let's have fun while we're doing it kind of a person. And that can become a really dangerous pressure cooker for someone that wants to please and accomplish and do. And so when I really clarified my purpose, it's like it removed that pressure that had over the years slowly been built. And I didn't even realize that it was happening. And as a mom, that release of pressure, and as a wife, that release of pressure to perform and do and accomplish, but instead to be obedient and live out my purpose in a meaningful way, it then changed the decisions I made. I suddenly had the freedom to say no to that because I'm going to say yes to this, to decline that opportunity that, oh, but it could lead to something so much greater in my work, so that I could be at the sports games, so that I could be in there in the afternoon to be with the people that are actually going to be sitting at my table years from now. I love the people I work with, but there are not many people that get to their 70s and 80s and they're sitting around the dinner table with their coworkers.
That's right.
Of the past. They're sitting with the people that possibly today are being neglected in the 30s and 40s and 50s, because there is this aim again that might just be off from what success really looks like long term. So a lot changed in me. The pressure changed, the decision making changed, and just my own ability to see more clearly for where I needed to spend my time and what decisions I needed to make. And I have to continually come back to it, because sometimes I feel like a goldfish where my memory is super short. And it's so easy for me to be like, oh, but that's important. It's like, no, come back, Elizabeth. You got to come back to what matters.
Who was the, was it Dory that was the goldfish in the movie? That's right. Just floating off. And so I want to speak to this for anybody who's not a two, I'm a two. It's an exhausting existence because you in your gut feel like I could truly help everybody and everybody's life could be easier if I got involved in it. But that always isn't the best thing. So for all of you that are listening today or watching today, and you're like, yeah, man, I'm not like that. Congratulations. I'm really glad that you aren't, because the world didn't need any more, because it's a tiring existence. And it's crazy. It's a crazy deal. And the funny part is you as a grown woman, a mom, a business leader, a wife, are just like you probably were in high school. It's the craziest deal. Yeah. It's a weird existence. And I know faith is a big part of this. How vital is faith to a person's purpose? So we're all going to have different callings of how we live out this journey on this earth. How vital is your walk with Jesus to how you're living out your purpose?
Personally, for me, it's very central because my faith and my relationship with Jesus is so central to my life. And that can be very different for a lot of people. But I think there is a very interesting connection between your spiritual health, your soul, and your purpose. They're a very interconnected conversation. And in some other cultures, they're very connected and can be very synonymous. So personally for me, it is very much it has to be in alignment because my faith is so important to me. One of the questions in the book for crafting your purpose is talking about the topics that wake you, the things that really bring you to life around whatever it might be. And faith is one of those for me. So it was definitely central.
You make a statement in the book, purpose can move us from confusion to clarity. That's a great line. Unpack why confusion to clarity is such a quantum leap for so many people.
And they say we make 40,000 decisions a day. Mm-hmm. And the majority of those decisions that we make every day are not cognitive, deliberate choices. I'm reading a really interesting book now called Thinking in Bets, and it's from a professional poker player about ways that we think and decisions we make. And Thinking Fast and Slow is another incredible book about decision-making and thinking. But we make so many decisions every day, many of which fall into this bucket of just automatic decisions that we don't constantly think about. It can become overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I think we've probably all been in that season before, where I saw it on Instagram, where it's like adulting is just saying next week things are going to slow down, and they never do. And I just think that sometimes we can get so overwhelmed. Sometimes we do it to ourselves because we say yes to so much, but we have so much coming at us that it can become really confusing and overwhelming. But when we know our purpose, when we're able to like sift away all of the clutter and go, okay, this is what matters most, it gives us the clarity of mind to be able to be more intentional with our yeses and with our noes. So the confusion of life that comes just because of all the things that we have to think about and do and decisions we have to make, not only that, but then add anxiety and depression, loneliness is now considered an epidemic in our country. Mm-hmm. You add all of that on top and it can be really, really heavy. Purpose is one of those things that we can add into our life to help sift through and clear through all of that so that we can make our decisions with more confidence.
And it seems like a selfish journey. You know, if I want to discover, well, that's so selfish, but others are so blessed when we get that clarity and we find our purpose. What's changed about you as a wife, as a mom, and as a leader for others when you were able to sift through and get down to what your purpose was? How are you better in all those arenas when you got that right?
It's good. I think there's the day-to-day kind of clarity of the decision-making like we talked about, but there's also the perspective that comes when struggle comes, because struggle is a part of life. And like you said at the very beginning, there is so much good that can be produced through the struggle. The good and the hard can coexist. They have to coexist. And so one of the things that really changed about me in the roles that I steward in life are my perspective. I began to see that there is purpose in my struggle when I live my purpose through my struggle. And that is just very life-giving for me, because it helps me not see the hard things. And again, I have to remind myself of this, but when the hard things, the challenges come, it helps me to see the good that is within it, mm-hmm. that I can actually live out my purpose in the challenging things. And maybe I can live out my purpose in a more clear and impactful way because of the hard things. And that was a big change for me.
I think there's in our brains, when I find my purpose, it's going to get easier. And that's not always the case, right?
Yeah.
There's wrestling that's still going to happen. When you find that purpose, and we're going to unpack how to do that here in just a second. When you find that and you face adversity, how quickly are you able to now readjust and go, okay, this isn't forever. This is a temporary deal, and this doesn't change who I am. Is that something you're better at now than you were before?
I'm better at it, but I'll say there's two key things for me. Mm-hmm. One is if I'm committed to my habits of aligning to my purpose every morning. It's a routine that I try my best to incorporate into my life, where I read my purpose, I review my goals for that week. I try to have 3 goals for the week, and that's it. Of course, there's other things that are going to get done, but like a big top 3, and I spend time in scripture. And when I do those things, it's like a filter. That is the filter that everything is coming through for me. And when I do that, I'm way better at it. When I lose that, it's like my defenses are down, and it's really my husband that helps wake me up to it. Cause I'll be stressed out about something, wrapped around the axle. And he's like, take a deep breath and come back to the thing that really matters. So that is incredibly huge for me. I'd like to say that I just automatically, see through the storm, but I don't. And so I either have to make sure that I am reminding myself of it every morning, or having the people around me that are going to remind me when I lose sight.
That's so good. That is really good. What have you learned about your relationship with the Lord in this? You know, we talked last time, we spent a lot of time talking about our journeys and our common years at Liberty, different years, but common years at Liberty. Yes. What have you learned about your spiritual journey through the years as it relates to your purpose? What have you learned about how God feels about Elizabeth through all this?
Oh man, I wish I had the picture. I would show you this. One of my mentors gave me a picture one time of, it's an old looking picture of this. You can imagine and guess that it's a father holding this little infant child. Mm. And the look on the father's face is delight. And that child is not doing anything. Mm. The child is being. And I think I can so often tell myself I'm a human doer, not a human being. And what I have been invited to in all of this with the Lord is that he created me as a human being to be in his presence, to be obedient to what he's calling me to do. And it's not about what I can accomplish or do, but it's about being present and being available and being purposeful. And that's been really huge for me. I think that there is great delight when you think about how God created us. And I think the evidence of our purpose shows up at a really tiny age. And what happens, I think, is over time, there become these layers And in those layers can be other people's words that they've put over us, limitations that they've said to us, a lack of belief that they've had for us or we've had for us, lies and wounds. And all of this means that you get later in life and you have to chisel and excavate and pull back to find like what was down in there when I was woven together in my mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made. I think there's so much intention that the creator of creativity designed into us as human beings. And when we think about these big questions of life of why do I exist, it invites us into this even bigger conversation and question of who created me and why was I created and what is my purpose to live out on the days that I'm here on the planet.
Ah, Elizabeth, that is so good. That is so good. You talk in the book about, you know, there's things that stand in the way of finding your purpose. Which one of those is most difficult for you to overcome of the roadblocks? And we're going to face roadblocks. That's just part of it. And they're going to change seasonally, right? In life, I'm in a different season than you are age-wise, but those things change. What's been the most difficult so far for you to overcome?
So the four are discomfort, because it can be really uncomfortable to ask the penetrating questions of our own hearts. The distraction, because life gets really busy. Defeat, you know, I have a number of voices of defeat that are lingering in the back of my mind, and just disconnection. Of those four, it's definitely distraction. Because I'm a default doer. I want to do. And the busier you get, the louder it gets. And the louder it gets, the harder it is to be still.
That's so good. And knowing that helps. Knowing that helps. And I wear a little band on my arm. It comes up out of a call with, in fact, a guy that lives on your side of town. But we work with a group of college baseball coaches and scouts. And one of them asked one day, and they said, how do you walk with the Lord? And we have this phrase, just lock eyes with Jesus every day and just walk. If you'll lock eyes today and just walk towards him, you're going to like where you end up. The distractions are what get you, though. And the distractions aren't all bad. What are some of the distractions that are that shiny lure to you that get your eyes off your purpose that may be good things, but you know that they're pulling against you all the time? What are two or three of those?
Oh, the top two that come to my mind are for the Enneagram twos out there. When someone says, I need your help, you're like, tell me where. Like, I'm here for you. I actually have a few text messages right now of like, I'd love to get coffee with you. That is a beautiful thing. But Andy Stanley actually said this to a group at Chick-fil-A one time. I wasn't in the room, so I feel like I'm kind of misquoting this a bit, but basically just talking about being focused and on purpose, that if he got coffee and breakfast with everybody that asked him to have coffee and breakfast, he'd become ineffective at the very thing that they want to spend time with him about. And so I think that sometimes for me, the distractions are all of the opportunities that are out there, and especially the ones that are an opportunity to help somebody. But when I say yes to all of those, I'm saying no to my kids. And that's a really big deal for me, because they are the most central audience for my purpose. If I'm not winning at home, I'm not winning. And so that's a big one for me. Another one, I think, which is really interesting, is it's wrapped up in my gifts and skills. And it's a good old entrepreneurial idea. I mean, I love bringing to life great ideas and making them into businesses. And so this year, my husband and I agreed, because I asked him at our anniversary in October, I said, what's one thing I can do for our family in this next year? And he said, it's your presence, your attention. It's not just like your, you know, physical presence, but your mental presence. And I thought about it. I had a really hard time like watching a Barbie television show with my 8-year-old, because I'd be like, this is not productive. And I thought, no, it's probably one of the best things I can do is to just be with her. And so we said no new ideas in 2024, no new books, no new businesses, no new things in 2024. We're going to take what we have and steward it well. So those are my two biggest distractions that look so good and beautiful. It's all the opportunities to be able to come alongside and help others. But when they're a threat to the people who I need to be focused on the most, that's a problem. And shiny, fun ideas that would be a lot of fun to go pursue, but they're going to mean I'm going to compromise something else in another part of my life.
That's so good to hear, because for all of us, that shiny thing, that distraction may be different. It may be our phone. It may be whatever, but it's getting us off of why we're here. I had just had breakfast with Daniel Harkavy, and I know Daniel does a lot of work. Yeah. With Chick-fil-A and a lot of the folks there at Chick-fil-A. And we were talking about if you could get the 5 to 9 right, the 9 to 5 will take care of itself, is his line. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that is so good. And I sit in a different seat than you, because my kids are grown. They're out of the house. And I'll tell you this, as a mom, those are days that you can't get back. And you know that. But when the reality hits and you're looking at an empty house, it's different, you know, and you have no regrets. You're not going to regret at all watching that Barbie movie at all. But you're making very wise choices. I'll call you in October and ask you how the no new ideas is coming. So that'll be good. That'll be a good.
Please do. I have to stay true to it, because everything you just said is what motivates me.
That's right.
Because when I get that text message or that email or that person calling, there is something in me that feels compelled. I want to show up. I want to deliver. I want to be excellent. But that's not nearly as important as this season that I have of being mom to these little kids who want to spend time with me. That might not always be the case. And so I think everything you just said is that thing. And we all have those different things that are going to compel us to go, as hard as it will be, and as much as I don't want to say no, I need to make sure that I'm making the best yes, the best choice that I need to make in this season. And there will be a new season that comes and time for all of those other things then.
And you will be shocked how much time you have. I'm just telling you. And so I'll tell you this, so we've been married 32 years. It's more fun now than it's ever been because of time. You have time. Like, you have more time for ideas. I have more ideas than I've ever had because I've got time to pursue them, and you're going to find that. So you're right in the right place. And I'm excited. You do a thing. We were talking earlier before we went on about the book and how it's different, even maybe from some other purpose books that I've read. In your crafting your purpose statement, you want to help people through. And I want to go through these: the stories that shape me, the giftings that make me, the topics that shape me, the investments that take me, and the perspectives that wake me. That is as good as I have ever read. How did that come about, that you were able to craft yours with these buckets, I will call them, of these things that make a great purpose? Unpack that a little bit for me.
For sure. So we go back to that really hard season where I was realizing that I had started to define my purpose, and even worse, define success by things that ultimately wouldn't be what matter most to me when I reflect back on my life. And so I didn't have these 5 in a, you know, nice little jingly kind of way, but through my journaling of going, okay, why do I exist? Through that process, it led me to start thinking about these buckets where purpose starts to rise to the top. And the exact words, my speaking coach, Chrissy, and I were sitting in a big auditorium. And once a week, I practice deliberate practice for 90 minutes of speaking and creating content. And we were just riffing together because I was saying, well, you know, it's this, it's like, it's the stories of our life, of our past. And it's the things that we were created to be able to be great at. We so often diminish the things that we're so great at. And that gift that we have inside is a gift to the world. And if we diminish it, we're not going to fully utilize it. So we were talking through, and it was one of those really special moments. I can actually like visualize everything about that moment when we sat there, and it was really fun because we're like, yeah, it's like, it's the stories that shape me. Yeah. The giftings that make me. Yeah. So that's where the five then were refined, and they sound
that's
better.
So
and they
good.
Were birthed out of a place of pain and hardship. And I do, I really think that it's those five. It's the stories that are a huge part of our life. If our life was a movie, what's the trailer? Mm. What are those kind of the points that when we look back, we're like, those were pivotal. They were forks in the road. They were peaks. They were valleys. Those were the big stories that changed my life. The giftings that we have, the talents, the abilities, the things that might be unrefined, but with the right mentor or opportunity or training can really be opened up and shared with the world. The topics that make you sweat and make you mad and make you passionate and make you not feel like you need food or sleep. You just want to go be a part of this thing. Like, what are those topics? And then the investments, the things where you're like, this is where I want to put my resources, my time, my money, my energy, my thoughts, the things that take parts of you now, or you want to take parts of you in the future. And then the perspectives, the things that really catch your attention. And the biggest one for me is the reflective view from the future you, the one that I always pick 80. 80 is not that old, but the 80-year-old Elizabeth, I often think about, what would she tell me today? Because the 40-year-old Elizabeth has a lot to share with the 20-year-old Elizabeth.
Yep.
The 80-year-old Elizabeth does too. And she's a spunky little lady who is able to help remind me that it's the things at home that matter most. It's how I'm showing up that matters most. It's if I'm trying that matters. Like, she doesn't care if the business works. She cares that I tried. She doesn't care if I ended up, you know, succeeding by the world standards. She cares that I gave it effort and I didn't live in fear. And those perspectives, and they can be different for different people, but those perspectives help wake us up and keep us from being in this autopilot state of being, but actually in a place where we have that perspective to go, okay, I understand. I'm going to make the best decision that I know to do today that I'm going to be most proud of tomorrow.
You have a front row seat to this being lived out in a corporate sense. You know, you spent your years at Chick-fil-A. I think Truett never dreamed it would be what it is today, that the power of the impact of Chick-fil-A. And now you work at Trillith directly with Dan Caffey. How is even what you do a big purpose for Dan and his family? You're watching, I mean, you're watching this in Technicolor. I mean, this is, it's live right in front of you. What's the purpose that's driving even the corporate part of what you do that you think just has such momentum?
That's so good. Well, I'll say two things to that, I think. One is, there is power when we bring our purpose to our work, and there's danger when we extract our purpose from our work.
That, okay. So I want you to say that again.
There's a really big difference in the two. There's power when we bring our purpose to our work, but there's a really big danger when we extract our purpose from our work. And where you see the danger come to life, because it sits lurking under the surface. Where it comes to life is when you lose the job, you don't get the promotion, or you retire. And suddenly inside, what you said before of that, there's got to be more, is suddenly brought straight up to the surface. And you're going, how did I miss this? I've been defining my life, maybe even my identity, which is different than your purpose. Your purpose is why you exist. Your identity is who you are. I might have even been identifying myself, my identity, by the job, by the company, by the title, by the compensation. You start messing with those things, and a person who's extracting their purpose from their work will get very rattled and shaken up. Whereas someone who's bringing their purpose to their work, they know they can bring that purpose to a different job in a different season. They can be underemployed. They can be retired. They can become a stay-at-home parent. They can go back into the workforce. There are ways to live out our purpose, regardless of what the stage of life is or regardless of what the season is. And those two things make a massive difference as an employee. The employee experience is way better when we're bringing our purpose to our work instead of expecting our purpose from our work. And one of the reasons why I wrote the book too was I thought this is dangerous. When you look at employee engagement statistics today, they are about the same as the percentage of people who know their purpose.
Wow.
So it's about 25% of people are fully engaged at work, and it is about 25% of people know their purpose in life. I'm not a scientist, so I can't prove that there is a direct correlation, but perhaps there is, or a causation, but perhaps there is some amount of a correlation between those two. But what gets even more dangerous is younger generations are finding it more important for businesses to have a purpose and to be overt about it. But majority of them don't know how to find theirs. And so you start to play that out. That's going to be an even more dangerous situation where younger generations are coming expecting the company to give them their purpose. And you miss out on incredible impact when that happens. So that, I think, is one of the big things, is when we know our purpose, we get to bring it to our work. We get to add to the overall thing that we're trying to accomplish. And when the company has a compelling purpose, that is where the magic happens. But the flip side is that danger of expecting the company is going to give me my purpose, or I am going to identify myself and extract my purpose from the work that I'm doing. That's where you find yourself in a dangerous position.
Do you think that's why Chick-fil-A, Trillith have experienced such powerful growth, is because their purpose is so clear and you're able to align yourself with it without deriving your necessarily your benefit from it? But do you think that's one of the powers of why people want to work at Trillith, why people want to work at Chick-fil-A, because they're looking for that purpose? Do you think that's a big part of it?
It's a great question. I think I can definitely say that I can't think of a company whose customers and employees are passionate about it and cannot imagine their life without it, that does not operate out of a compelling, others-focused purpose and empowers their people to bring their full self to work.
So good. That's so good.
That's on the leader, because the leader is the ceiling for their culture.
That's right.
And so if, as leaders, we don't have a clear and compelling purpose for ourselves, we're modeling for our team, extracting our purpose from work. But we have the opportunity to lift the ceiling up and create more oxygen in the room for people to be able to thrive when we go, I know my purpose. I'm going to apply it and live it out in what I'm doing. And it creates an open-handedness.
Yep.
Because we're not defining ourselves by these things that we may not be able to control, but instead we're saying, hey, I'm going to bring my best to what I'm doing. I'm going to live my purpose out through the role I have today, and I'm going to lift the ceiling enough to create oxygen for everyone else to do the same. There is a power that happens when leaders do that.
That's so good. Well, I want to tell you this. So number one, the book's fantastic, and we'll have show links. We'll have all the ways to go get this. You know, and we'll want everybody to get their copy, because it is, it's so good. And you do such a great job walking people through the process. We did a flyover of it today, but it is really, really good. And it's very clear. And it's not like, I'm confused. I don't know what to do here. It's as a Liberty grad with, you know, the fine Liberty education, I understood it. So it was good. So it was great. It's a great book. Final question I have for you today, Elizabeth.
Yes.
25 years from now, I get to sit down with your kids. And last week we went on a vacation with our grown adult kids, 29 and 26, and their spouses, and rented a house and spent a week together. So that day is going to be your day one day. And I get to sit down with your kids and go, I had your mom on a podcast years ago talking about her purpose. What do you pray your kids tell me 25 years from now about who their mom was while they were growing up?
I hope they say that. I hope they say to you, you know, Mike, we got to see it way more than you did. We saw authentically how she lived, and and our lives were made better because of that. I think there's so much. They're their own people. They get to make all their own choices. And they, in many ways, are going to get to choose what role I play in their life. And that's up to them. But I believe that the choices that I make today will set some foundations for how I can be a friend and helpful and a mentor to them when they're older. And so we talk about this stuff a lot in our family and in our house. And so I hope that they can look back and say, yep, she authentically lived out the things she said. She was not perfect by any means, but she lived out what she believed. She lived out of her purpose. And she was quick to take ownership for the things where she made mistakes and where she could have done differently. And that created trust between us as a family.
Wasn't that enjoyable? Elizabeth is such a joy to talk to, and her content, her stuff is so good. You're going to want to pick up The Strength of Purpose. It's outstanding. We've got a link in our show notes that you can go to. You can pick it up on Amazon or any book outlet. And man, go visit her at ElizabethDixonSpeaks.com and learn more about her life and her work. And I just pray she keeps good stuff coming out, because I sure want to keep having her on, because she is such a joy to interview and a joy to spend time with. Thank you, Elizabeth, for joining me on this episode of Lynch with a Leader. If these podcasts add value to you and your journey, if you would leave a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen, it would sure help us get new listeners our way. And man, when you share it, it just means the world. And you're helping other people become the leaders that God created them to be. Well, we continue the vein of great leaders in our next episode. I sit down with former UNC basketball player and coach Matt Doherty. And we talk about his journey of life. We talk about his ups, his downs, his goods, his bads, and all the lessons learned in between. And it's going to be a good one. So thanks again for joining me today. I pray that you go now, live out the story that God created you for, and let's live sent in the spaces and places that He's put us. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Lynch with a Leader podcast with your host, Mike Lynch. If you enjoyed this episode, you can help more people hear it by subscribing and leaving a review wherever you may be listening. For full episode notes and more spiritual leadership resources, visit MikeLynch.com.